Blog Talk Radio.
When I cannot close my eyes and the night goes on, troubles taunt on every side, and my doubt is strong. Shelter me, shelter me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Prince of Peace, shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God who comes near, come and shelter me. Do your promises still stand? Does your mercy cease? By the power of your hand, grant me my shelter me, shelter me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength. Prince of Peace, shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. My God, it's 12-12-12. We only got 12 days left before the Mayans come. Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holy days. I will not say season's greetings because I don't know if you mean deer season, a trout season, or mating season. I will not say happy holidays, but I will say happy birthday, baby Jesus. And I attended a preschool play today in a Catholic school, and the angel Gabriel was Jewish. Isn't that great? And last night I attended a Hanukkah table ceremony, and a six-year-old boy had a yarmulke on that said New York Mets, and I thought it was great. You know, old meets new, 5,000 years, coming up on the birth of a baby Jesus. And the sissies are complaining that December 25th wasn't really the day that Jesus was born. Who cares? Who cares? You know how kids believe that Santa Claus is in the North Pole? And he could be, because I was upstate New York once and I saw a sign that said Santa's Workshop up around, where was it? Saranac Lake, Tupper Lake. Yep, and there's a North Pole up there too. And you know how they believe Santa is going to come, you know, he leaves the North Pole with the presents? Well, my four-year-old granddaughter told me yesterday that baby Jesus is still in Bethlehem. How's that? Huh? Is that faith or what? That's blind faith. You know, there is such a thing as blind faith. You know, you can't prove it, but in your heart, you know that something out there means more to you than what you see around you. That's blind faith. Some people die for blind faith. In the Catholic Church, there is an Apostles' Creed that professes one a Catholic's faith in his religion. And there's also a Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed also was a profession of faith. And it was created at the Council of Nicaea, and I don't remember the date. But I do know that the town of or city of Nicaea has had a name change, and it is now a Turkish city with the onslaught of the peaceful Muslims. And the people of Nicaea were given a choice, either convert to Islam or have their heads cut off. And they refused to convert. So the next time you're at Mass, bring a little extra money for the collection, because the church is getting tired. They can't live on the dollar you bring. You can't be 70 years old and keep giving your communion money. But the next time you're in church and you say the Nicene Creed, remember those martyrs of Nicaea who had blind faith. And actually, martyr is a Christian word, and it means one who has been cut to pieces for the love of God, not one who ran into a supermarket with bombs strapped to him, shouting, today's special. Yeah. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Now that I told you that, I'll go to a tune, and then when I come back, I'll tell you a story about a liberal who moved to be in Snowland. Thank you. the Latin translation for the first verse is, O saving victim, open wide the gates of heaven to us below. Our foes press in from every side. Thy aid supply, thy strength bestow. I dedicate that to everybody that's serving in the military. There's another one called Anima Christi, and it's about a tortured soul, and I dedicate that one to all the POWs. Okay. You know what a POW is? Prisoner of war. You know what else is a POW? Prisoner of the womb. We murder 1,200,000 Americans a year, and nobody bats an eye. They call it settled law. When the majority commits murder, a murder will be the law of the land. When the majority commits drug abuse will be the law of the land. Pray for your souls, pray for your souls, because you're losing your country and you don't even know it. But on the brighter side, I'm going to give you a story about a liberal who moved to the country because she loved nature. August 12th, moved to our new home in Connecticut. It is so beautiful here. The mountains are so majestic. Can hardly wait to see snow covering them. October the 14th. Connecticut is the most beautiful place on earth. The leaves turned all the colors and shades of red and orange. Went for a ride through the beautiful mountains and saw some deer. They are so graceful. Certainly they are the most wonderful animal on earth. This must be paradise. I love it here. November 11th. Deer season will start soon. I can't imagine anybody wanting to kill such a gorgeous creature. Hope it will snow soon. I love it here. December the 2nd. It snowed last night. Woke up to find everything blanketed with white. It looks like a postcard. We went outside and cleaned the snow off the steps and shoveled the driveway. We had a snowball fight. I won. And when the snow plow came by, we had to shovel the driveway again. What a beautiful place. I love Connecticut. December the 12th. More snow last night. I love it. The snow plow did its trick again to the driveway. I love it here. December 19th. More snow last night. Couldn't get out of the driveway to get to work. I'm exhausted from shoveling.
Goodbye.
Fucking snowplow. December the 22nd. More of that white shit fell last night. I got blisters on my hands from shoveling. I think the snowplow hides around the curb and waits until I'm done shoveling. Driveway. Asshole. December the 25th. Yeah, merry effing Christmas. More friggin' snow. If I ever get my hands on that son of a bitch who drives the snowplow, I swear I'll kill the bastard. Don't know why they don't use more salt on the roads to melt the effing ice. December the 27th. More white shit last night. Been inside for 3 days except for shoveling out the driveway after that snowplow goes through every time. Can't go anywhere. Car stuck in a mountain of white shit. The weatherman says you can expect another 10 inches of shit again tonight. Do you know how many shovelfuls of snow 10 inches is? December the 28th. The effing weatherman was wrong. We got 34 inches of that white shit this time. At this rate, it won't melt before the summer. The snow plow got stuck up in the road and that bastard came to the door and asked to borrow my shovel. After I told him I had broken 6 shovels already shoveling all the shit he pushed into the driveway, I broke my last one over his effing head. January the 4th. Finally got out of the house today. Went to the store to get food. On the way back, a damn deer ran in front of the car and hit it. Did about $10,000 worth of damage to the car. Those effing beasts should all be killed. Wish the hunters had killed them all last November. Took the car to the garage in town. Would you believe the thing is rusting out from the effing salt they put all over the roads. Move to Naples, Florida. I can't imagine why anyone in their right mind would ever live in God-forsaken state of Connecticut. And state of Connecticut, you really suck. When you can take an attorney general who lied about his service in the Marine Corps in a war zone, and knowing that he lied, you made him a senator to represent you. Who are you? What are you? Why would you send shit like that to represent your state? The home of Nathan Hale, who said, "I regret, but I have one life to give for my country." And you send an imposter posing as an American. Look ashamed, Connecticut. You sold out your country. But you're not alone. New York is the second runner-up. May even be tied or ahead of you. We send the same murd to Washington to represent us. And speaking of representation in Washington, my friends, your vote does not count. It doesn't count one. One vote. Your vote doesn't count. Your vote doesn't count. Take my word for it. Until there is no lobbies left in Washington, your vote means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. You got to get rid of all of those lobbyists in Washington. You got to get rid of all the special interests. And any representative that takes money from them should be eliminated right away. I want to see my representative standing on a soapbox in poor man's clothes telling us what he's going to do to save the country. I don't want to see him in Gucci shoes breaking Don Perignon corks and telling us he's representing me and you. It's time to take your country back. Take it back before the Chinese buy it with no money down. Bartender, a champagne. One glass. Out my old files, and I came across this Onedin Online, and the title was, and it's dated 8/16 of 2010, And the title is, How Many Avowed Socialists Sit in Congress? What's an avowed socialist? Is that someone who takes a vow to be a socialist? Remember the representative from Florida who was defeated in his re-election, and he had come out and he had said there were 70 communists in the Congress, and everybody got upset and the Republicans put the muzzle on them. You know, there's a lot of muzzle limbs, M-U-Z-Z-L-E-I-M-S, in this country. Are you a Muslim? A Muslim? Have you been muzzled? Do you wear a muzzle? Are there things you're afraid to say because public opinion may turn against you? Like, I'm proud to be a Catholic? Or I worship a Jesus Christ? Are you afraid to say that? Huh? Are you afraid to say that everybody who ever OD'd started with weed, when everybody's telling you marijuana is healthy? Yeah. Okay, so here's what I found. I found that this article said, How many avowed socialists sit in Congress? And it was posted by Old Sport on August the 15th, 2010. To no surprise, check out how many members of the CBC are listed. I am certain Barry would be listed if he remained in the Senate. Of course, Barry's association with the Democratic Socialist Party. You know, first comes socialism, then comes communism, and then comes death camps. And Jimmy from Brooklyn says he believes the day will come in the United States when we will have death camps. That's kind of scary when somebody says that. Of course, he's probably wrong. He's only been studying communism for 50 years. What does he know? As compared to what you and I know. Okay, so it's no secret that he has an association with the Democratic Socialist Party. And then the guy gives a blog spot where you can check it out. I believe that Obama is a Islamo-Marxist, and that his records are sealed by other Islamo-Marxists who run Columbia, Occidental College, and Harvard. Why would they not make his records public? A sitting president of the United States, and we can't do a background check? Have we lost our country? Do we know it? 70 avowed socialists in U.S. Congress. Democrat Socialists of America list members of the 111th session, August the 15th, 2010. Oh, and this is the sources, WorldNet Daily. In October 2009, the Democratic Socialists of America released its newsletter a list of 70 members of the U.S. Congress who are members of the organization. Co-chairs, Raul Grijalva from Arizona, Lynn Woosley from California. California's gone. They can't pay their bills. And they're just sucking money out of other states that are profitable. Vice Chairs, Diane Watson of California. Sheila Jackson Lee, Texas. Mazie Hirono, Hawaii. I'm very disappointed in Hawaii. The two senators are World War II veterans. They're also wounded veterans. Yet they voted to burn the flag and they vote to kill kids. What happened to them? Why did they turn their back on the flag-draped coffins of guys who they served with? Why did they do that? Who does that? Who sells out his soul? He is a knave or half a slave. Okay, so where was I? I mentioned Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, and then, of course, there's Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich broke a tooth biting into an olive. He struck a pit in the congressional lunchroom where they get $20 of food for $2. And he sued them. See, he makes money going and coming. Your tax money. That's what's going to pay the suit. Senate members. Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Vermont is gone. If who would agree, Mountain Boys? Ethan Allen. If Ethan Allen, when he kicked in the door of Fort Ticonderoga and he told the British commander, surrender in the name of the great Jehovah, if Ethan Allen could see what his state has become, he would put a ball in Bernie Sanders. So who else is there? Neil Abercrombie from Hawaii, Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, Xavier Becerra from California, Madeline Bordalo from Guam, Robert Brady from Pennsylvania, Corrine Brown from Florida, Michael Capuano from Massachusetts, Andre Carson from India, Donna Christensen from Virgin Islands, Yvette Clark, from Virginia. I think that's what it is. It could be Virgin Islands. Yvette Clark from New York, William Lacey Clay from Missouri, Emmanuel Cleaver from Missouri, Steve Cohen from Tennessee, John Conyers. Oh, this guy wanted to impeach Vice President Cheney. He's a real rat. Wherever there's dirty work to be done, he takes the front right away. He's from Michigan, the state that has no money and has no people and has no jobs. And isn't it wonderful how Obama gets credit for saving Chrysler, and Chrysler now belongs to the Italians? Yeah, he saved it and sold it to the Italians. He'll sell anything to anybody. Yeah. So where are we here? Kanye's Elijah Cummings, Danny Davis, Peter DeFazio. Elijah Cummings is from Maryland. Danny Davis is from Illinois. DeFazio's from Oregon. Rosa DeLauro is from Connecticut. I told you about Connecticut. And Maryland is no better. Donna Edwards from Maryland. Keith Ellison from Minnesota. Sam Farr from California. Chaka Fata from Pennsylvania, Bob Filner from California, Barney Frank from Massachusetts, Marsha Fudge from Ohio, Alan Grayson from Florida, Louis Gutierrez from Illinois, John Hall from New York, Philip Hare from Illinois, Maurice Hinchy from New York. New York sent some real bad people to Congress. Michael Honda from California, Jesse Jackson Jr., well, he's got problems. Eddie Bernice Johnson from Texas. Hank Johnson from Georgia. Marcy Kaptur from Ohio. Carolyn Kilpatrick from Michigan. Barbara Lee from California. John Lewis from Georgia. David Lobsack from Iowa. Benjamin Lujan from New Mexico. Carolyn Maloney. Oh, you wicked, evil woman from New York. Phony Maloney, they call her. Ed Markey is a real rat from Massachusetts. Yeah, he's a real rat. Jim McDermott. Jim McDermott went to Baghdad to shake down Saddam Hussein before George Bush went to hang him. He was there with, he's from Washington State. The whole West Coast is communist. We're going to be down to about 20 states that are going to fight the next civil war. James McGovern, a pox on your house, McGovern, from Massachusetts. A disgrace to the Irish. Your ancestors are spinning in their graves at 7,200 RPMs. But Markey is the worst. He's a global warming communist. George Miller, California. Gwen Moore, Wisconsin. Gerald Nadler from New York. Gerald Nadler. If there's a child that's to be aborted, and Gerald Nadler will sign the death warrant. If there's an American flag to be burned, Gerald Nadler will sign the death warrant. Eleanor Holmes Norton, D.C. John Alva, Massachusetts. Massachusetts is a disgrace. But God is good. I hear Ted Kennedy is working a boiler number 3. And there's plenty of Pennsylvania coal. Yeah. Ed Pastor from Arizona. Donald Payne from New Jersey. Chelly Pingree from Maine. Charlie Rangel, big moneymaker in the Congress. He got caught stealing, and they censured him. And then they put him in charge of the House Ways and Means Committee. Laura Richardson. Oh, Charlie Rangel served in Korea. His handle was he was a Korean War hero. Charlie Rangel voted to burn the flag that draped the bodies of other Korean War heroes that got no publicity. And Charlie Rangel votes to kill kids, little black babies. Laura Richardson, California. Lucille Roy Ball Allard. Well, anybody with a name like that has to be communist. Bobby Rush from Illinois. Linda Sanchez from California. You know who Linda Sanchez is? She wanted to have the Democratic Convention. I think it was for John Kerry, but she wanted to have the Democratic Convention at the Playboy Club in California. Jan Schakowsky, big trader from Illinois. Jose Serrano from New York. Yeah, playing the game. Louise Slaughter from New York. Slaughter is her name. She probably votes to kill kids. Pete Stark from California. Benny Thompson from Mississippi. John Tierney from Massachusetts. Nydia Velasquez from New York. Maxine Waters. Oh, God. Oh, God. Boy, do they have their hand in the Treasury. Mel Watt from North Carolina. And here is the arch enemy of Mighty Mouse, Henry Waxman. I call him Mr. Baseball. He held hearings that cost about $7 million to expose a baseball player who he charged with stealing second base. Peter Welsh from Vermont and Robert Wexler from Florida. Wexler from Florida, he actually lived in Maryland, and he ran from his mommy's house in Florida. And it turned out that he was living in Maryland, and they caught him taking out the garbage one morning, and he had to resign. Yeah. So I just thought I'd share that with you. And there's an article I've also found dated May the 17th, 2010. Walter Cronkite, you know, many people said he was, the communists said he was the most honest broadcaster in America. But Cliff Kincaid, in an AIM column on May the 17th, said Walter Cronkite was a dupe of the Soviets. Yep. And a big lefty. And if you get Cronkite named as Soviet target by FBI, you will learn all there is to learn about rats in the media. Walter Cronkite, the most honest news person. Actually, when the Tet Offensive came, Walter Cronkite called for the end of the war. Now, I've got to tell you something about the Vietnam War. I paid no attention to it when it was going on. I was raising 4 kids and running 5 stores. And so I was pretty busy. And I had already served in the military, and it wasn't my turn. So I was heartbroken to see what was coming home and how they were treated. And I was heartbroken to see who did not go and how useless they were. And all they could do was drugs and put a ban on soap. They were pigs in a blanket. And now they're college professors, judges, lawyers, congressmen, and that's who they are, ex-presidents. So tonight I'm going to say We're going to say a special prayer for everyone who serves in Dark Horse, the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and their families. This is dated December the 2nd, 2010, and they're fighting it out in Afghanistan, and they've lost 9 Marines in 4 days. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Osama bin Laden has lost an entire SEAL team. He has lost 2,000 Americans, and the communist media disguised them as NATO troops. He lost 30 SEALs in a phone-ahead ambush, and the media, the lying media, had them buried within 24 hours with shovel-ready jobs. And the lying media called it a chopper crash. But it was a phone-ahead ambush, and from what I understand, two gunships that were supposed to prep the area were told to stand down. And this big lumbering helicopter went in with 30 men on it, and I think 22 were SEALs and 8 were other military. And it took an RPG, and it was all over. And that was it. We lost a great team, just like we lost in Benghazi. How would you like to be on the phone directly with the White House asking for help, and they're watching you die live on TV? What did they do at the White House as those guys waited for help that never came? Waited for help that was ordered not to help. You don't think that happened? When the 4 guys called for permission to go help the consulate that was under fire, and they were a mile away, they were told to stand down. Don't get involved. And 2 of them went anyway. And then when the 2 were up on a rooftop ducking mortar fire, and they had painted the target with a laser, waiting for that gunship to come from Italy that never came, was the same team that watched bin Laden get taken out, was that same team sitting in the ready room watching those guys expire? Or did somebody say, hang up the phone, turn off the TV? Or did somebody just walk out of the room because they didn't want to be charged with cowardice in the face of the enemy? How sad. To me, the life of one American is everything, born or unborn. And you know what happens when you kill the unborn? An immigrant takes his place. An immigrant with 2 passports takes his place, or her place. You lost your country, and you're not getting it back. Not until Bunker Hill, Part 2. Bugler, sound boots and saddles. I'm having a little breakfast this morning, and I'm scanning the channels, and I go up to the military channel, and there is Leon Pinheda. He's overseas with the troops. Okay, now I don't know when this was filmed, recorded, but today is the 14th of December, so Christmas is 2 weeks away, baby Jesus' birthday, and he's with the troops. Now, you would think that the Secretary of Defense would be giving a football coach's pep talk to the troops. Guess what this bum said? Somebody asked him, what's the thing you worry about the most? He said, I worry about you guys getting these salary cuts. And if this sequestration takes place, you guys are going to be out a lot of money. You guys are going to hurt. You guys are going to be broke. You guys aren't going to be able to feed your family. Merry Christmas, everybody! What a phony bastard. What a phony bastard. No thank you for your service. You guys are the front line. You're the 2% that protects the 98% who live in another world. No. I think you guys are going to get screwed. Yeah, that's it, man. Could I have your flak jacket? We're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. A bartender, a champagne. I have to drown my sorrows. And I'm scanning the channels, and I go up to the military channel, and there is Leon Pinheda. He's overseas with the troops. Okay? Now, I don't know when this was filmed. Recorded,
I gotta play this
but
through
today
again.
Is the 14th of December, so Christmas is 2 weeks away, baby Jesus' birthday, and he's with the troops. Now, you would think that the Secretary of Defense would be giving a football coach's pep talk to the troops. Guess what this bum said? Somebody asked him, what's the thing you worry about the most? He said, I worry about you guys getting these salary cuts. And if this sequestration takes place, you guys are going to be out a lot of money. You guys are going to hurt. You guys are going to be broke. You guys aren't going to be able to feed your family. Merry Christmas, everybody! What a phony bastard. What a phony bastard. No thank you for your service. You guys are the front line. You're the 2% that protects the 98% who live in another world. No. I think you guys are going to get screwed. Yeah, that's it, man. Could I have your flak jacket? We're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. A bartender, a champagne. I have to drown my sorrows. I'm having a little breakfast this morning, and I'm scanning the channels. And I go up to the military channel, and there is Leon Pinheda. He's overseas with the troops. Okay? Now, I don't know when this was filmed.
Got to play it through, though.
Recorded, but today is the 14th of December, so Christmas is 2 weeks away, baby Jesus' birthday. And he's with the troops. Now, you would think that the Secretary of Defense would be giving a football coach's pep talk to the troops. Guess what this bum said? Somebody asked him, what's the thing you worry about the most? He said, I worry about you guys getting these salary cuts. And if this sequestration takes place, you guys are going to be out a lot of money. You guys are going to hurt. You guys are going to be broke. You guys aren't going to be able to feed your family. Merry Christmas, everybody! What a phony bastard. What a phony bastard. No thank you for your service. You guys are the front line. You're the 2% that protects the 98% who live in another world. No. I think you guys are going to get screwed. Yeah, that's it, man. Could I have your flak jacket? We're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. A bartender, a champagne. I have to drown my sorrows.
I'm good.
still can't get over Panetta's chat with the troops. What was that to do? Is that to discourage them from staying in the military? Get out? Is this the further deterioration of the U.S. military? You know, it's really sad that we did away with the draft. We never should have done away with the draft. What we should have done is put the draft dodgers in jail. We never should have done away with the draft. If you listen to any of the speeches of George Patton, he loved universal service for Americans. He believed that that's what brought Americans together, who fought and died together. And I, too, believe that. I read a statement that 45% of the U.S. military is feminine. They didn't say female. They said 45% of the U.S. military is feminine. Now, I never used the word feminine, unless you're talking about hygiene. But it's really sad, man. Their kids are playing in schoolyards in communist public schools that are now, boys are now being admonished for running. Instead, they're told they must skip. You don't believe that, right? Yeah. You know what you got to do? You got to go to school with your kid and see what's going on. Okay? And I got to tell you, who is going to pay the greatest and heaviest price in the deterioration of the United States? It's the mothers of today. The mothers of today who were very liberal, but now don't want liberalism for their little child. And when Junior comes home and doesn't, and tells mommy that kindergarten says there's no Christmas, only Kwanzaa, I think mommy's going to be upset. And when daddy comes home next month and his paycheck is a little light, I think mommy's going to be very upset. And daddy's already working three jobs. Now he's going to have to get a fourth. How about the family that passed the kids going out the door? Okay, I'm going to work. Here's the kids. You're back from work. Here's the kids. I got to go to work. Do you think you'll ever see the day when the economy is so bad that the government decrees that only one household member can work? Do you ever think you'll see the day when the Democrats call for bringing back the draft because they're afraid of the U.S. military and they want to seed it and destroy it? Never can happen, happens all the time. Never can happen, happens all the time. And when all these people with homes who've already been raped by communal living and getting along, yeah, going along to get along, whose houses are now underwater, and I would say a 3 out of 4 new owners, their houses are underwater. Anybody that bought a house, say, from 2006 to today. Well, not to today, because now they're wise to what happened. But those people that got trapped in the Barney Frank, Fannie Mae, Freddie Frick screw job, where community activists walked into a bank and said, if you don't give this man, this poor man, a mortgage, we're going to boycott your bank. And the banker said, we don't want any problems. We'll give him the mortgage. And then we're going to give it to the American taxpayer, and he can eat the whole goddamn thing. And at the same time as he's paying that bill, his house is going to be devalued. So he's got two monkeys on his back that he doesn't even know about. Yeah. And that's what happened in the mortgage. Everybody gets a home, according to the Communist Party. Yeah, and everybody gets a farm. They just got to take it away from the farmer. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Socialism looks good right now. But wait till it turns to communism. It's only one little shade. It goes from pink to blood red. Yeah. Did you know that there are 70 registered socialists in the Congress? I read them. I read them to you. If you were paying attention, you got the names. Write down your favorite. And go ask him why he's a communist. Or she. I was planning to lead into Christmas and give you some real nice Christmas tunes and concentrate on the upcoming 2 weeks of joy and happiness. But as you know, in Newtown, Connecticut, one crazy ruined the Christmas and futures of 20 children and 7 teachers. And nobody can understand how something like that could happen, and I can't understand it. And it's really horrible. It's absolute. There's no greater horror. And for a mother, 5, 6, or 7 years ago, to be doing a labor of love in a maternity ward, to bring into the world her greatest creation along with God's help, and to see a madman destroy that helpless child. I said, I did a quick article the other night blogging, and I said in Newtown, Connecticut, tomorrow there will be 20 pietas in that town. You know what a pieta is? That's the statue by Michelangelo of the mother of Jesus holding her dead son in her arms. And I often use that statue when I talk about the fallen warriors. When the communists start talking about politically blood and treasure, I always say you can't compare one to the other. A mother's national treasure is draped over her lap in the picture of the pietà. And now we got 20 pietas in this Connecticut town. And no one can fathom the heartbreak. No one can fathom that heartbreak. And that's when you really need God, because nobody else is going to even come close to putting salve on your wounds. So that's where we're at. And of course, the communists jump right in, you know, using the axiom that was created by Rahm Emanuel, which is the Democrat Party policy: never let a good crisis go to waste. So the spoilers came right in. They saw a golden opportunity to destroy the Second Amendment. And I got to tell you, they are the masters of pulling on your heartstrings to destroy your heart. And that's what they do. They play on your compassion, your love, and they use it to their advantage. Be careful when these heartstring pullers start to talk. I often say, they have clipboards on a wall, and each one has a speech on it. Oh, give me the speech for the hurricane. Give me the speech for gun violence. And they just come right out with their rhetoric, and they have no compassion. And I watched the senator from Connecticut, who used to be the attorney general, and he got caught lying about his military service. And he said he was in Vietnam, and he was in a combat zone, and he never was. So when everybody found out about it, they promoted him to senator. They voted for him for senator. You know, better to have the liar that you know than the liar that you don't know. And I saw him getting up there, and I says, if this guy starts to pull on those heartstrings, I'm going to be beside myself. And there's one scene, if you're watching the tapes, of what took place up in that school, you'll see a band of men coming, and they're led by a short, pudgy guy. And this guy is walking, and he's got a big cagada-eating look on his face, grin on his face, like he's going to a party. Every time I see it, I get infuriated. My family's telling me, will you stop it? We know we're ready. But, you know, there are jerks. Even in moments of crisis, jerks do emerge. But having said that, and going back to that senator, the senator played it very cool. He was low-key. But when they asked him the question, how do you feel about this today, Senator? I did a little scene in my mind. Well, there I was in Vietnam. I was surrounded by two Viet Cong divisions. I single-handedly carried out six wounded men all at once. And then I took shrapnel, and I got the John Kerry Medal of Valor. And now they want to make John Kerry the Secretary of State. Why? Doesn't Switzerland have a Secretary of State? We're in trouble, folks. We're in real trouble. I don't think we're going to get our country back. I think we lost it for good. I'll tell you one thing. We better start being paying attention to our Lord and Savior, because there are a lot of people in this country that want to get rid of him. And they're doing everything they can. They want any symbol of him taken out. I received notice that the only Catholic college in the state of Maine has decided to take the cross out of their logo. And they got a bulletin from the dean while they were all away on Christmas break. Yes, we took the cross out of the logo. It's too confrontational. Everybody's going to think we love Jesus. And we don't want anybody getting that idea. You know what I'm saying. They had a BS answer for a BS move. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. I don't know if this is a correct observation or not, but I'm noticing that a lot of the people in that school, the families in that school with these 5, 6, and 7-year-old children, the parents are not young. And that seems to be a trend in the country. You know, whether that's a good trend or a bad trend, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. When they start talking about seizing the guns of the good people, they never tell you that 90% of all gun crime is drug related. So why not go after the drugs? Oh, we lost the war on drugs, so we're going to take your gun away. Well, that's how it works. We're in trouble. I'm going to play a tribute tune to the kids who died. It's the least I can do, so we don't forget. So this tune I'm going to dedicate to the mothers of the children. If you go to a Catholic church, you will always see statues of the Blessed Mother. And women identify more with the Blessed Mother than men do. And the reason they do is they know the suffering that mothers have to go through, from a childbirth to the death of a child. And that's the reason for that pietà, where Jesus is draped in the arms of his mother. And it's a reminder to us all that mothers pay a heavy price. So, to ease your anguish, which can never be done, I dedicate this tune to the mothers who lost those children, and to the mothers who lose their children and get a flag-draped coffin coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and other war zones. So, God be with you.
Website, the Spirit of America Party, radioshow.com. You see, I plug a book, The Spirit of America Party. In that book are 12 chapters devoted to the USA. Chapter 1 is the most critical, and it's called Drugs Suck. Chapter 3 is Terrorism. And in chapter 3, if you'll see the building of the scene of the 80th floor where the people are trapped before they, and just as they start to jump out off the building. And I picked three songs which you can play on that website. And the three songs I picked was one for boys, one for girls, and one for everybody. And being that we lost 12 girls and 7 female teachers, I'm going to play Makushla. It's an Irish tune. It means my darling. Death is a dream, and love is forever. I give you one for the boys, for the 8 sons.
Life in me, and now I can't believe the man I see.
Fire. And I like to think that beset with that tragedy and not being there to reach out and hug anybody or to touch anybody, that he did this tune, which a lot of us can carry with us. The people, I did this for 911 people, for the firemen, and I played this dedicated to them, and now I dedicate it to the dads and moms up in Connecticut.
A candy-colored clown, they call the Sandman, tiptoes to my room every night, just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away.
Great American creed, the strong must always protect the weak, born and unborn. Have a nice night.